Hey hoes, and welcome back to another episode of Morning Cup of Ho podcast. I'm Imani, your host and main ho, here to help you on this journey of finding your purpose, getting your shit together, and living the life you want. Pour up your morning cup of whatever you're sipping on, get ready to unleash your inner ho, and let's get into this episode. All right, ho. So before we get into this episode, I want to let y'all know that the audio is a little crazy on this episode. This was the first episode that I recorded with a guest in person, and apparently it was going in and out a little bit, but I felt like this episode was really good and I wanted y'all to hear it. So we're still going to put it out. It shouldn't be too many problems. But today we have Sierra on the episode and I'm really excited for her to be here. So let's go ahead and get into the episode. Hope y'all enjoy. Going into the topic here. So I actually found Sierra on TikTok. I was creeping on your page and, well, the first video I saw was actually about decentering people and places and things like that don't serve you. So I was like really interested and I started creeping on your page and just looking at all your videos. And I was like, okay, she seems cool. Her content is really good. But the main thing that I wanted to focus on is decentering people and things like that aren't serving you. And I felt like even though your video was good, I really wanted to hear so much more about your perspective and kind of go into that. So that's why I have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So I want to start off by kind of understanding, what do you think it means to put yourself first?
I think what it means to put yourself first is to ensure that you have a good quality of life when dealing with other people. I think it's really important to have a set of boundaries and standards for yourself that are non-negotiable. This is what you need in life to be happy, peaceful, content, whatever, and not to let anyone cross those boundaries. And that's my idea of putting myself first. It doesn't mean that I'm always going to be selfish in any situation. It just means that if you cross these boundaries, you cannot be a part of my life.
No, I definitely agree. And I think it's so important because I feel like a lot of people do feel selfish when they try to put themselves first, like they're neglecting other people and they're not, you know, helping their friends, their family, or whatever the case may be. But it is so important to be able to put yourself first. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. So are there any specific reasons that you think putting yourself first is important?
I think it's important for everybody, particularly women. I think that a lot of us are raised in a way where we're taught to put other people first. And it's something that's kind of never ending. You know, you go from putting, you know, the needs of your family first when you're young to growing up and starting your own family and putting that family first. And not until, I think a lot of women look up later in life and realize that they've never put themselves first before. And so I think it's important to be that resource for yourself the same way that you are for others, because you are a better giver when you put yourself first. You know, you have more to give when you take care of yourself. So I think it's really important to focus on self-care and making sure that you're taking care of yourself as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it is important that you pointed out specifically women putting others first before themselves, because I feel like it's for men. I feel like a lot of times men always put themselves first. And I mean, that's not a bad thing, but they're genuinely thinking about what's good for them, like what their next move needs to be. And I feel like for women, we're always considering how our actions are going to affect other people before we make a decision. And I think it's so important to be able to get out of that. And it doesn't mean that we're selfish or we don't care about other people, but we really need to put ourselves first. And kind of going outside of just women in general, but Black women, why do you think we tend to put others first before looking at our own needs?
I think that just like other women, Black women were raised that way a lot of the time. And it's very hard to break the conditioning of how you were raised. So if you were raised to make sure that everybody is straight before you are, then that is 9 times out of 10 how you're going to be in adulthood. And I think that the Black community in general has this added layer of telling our women that they need to put the community before themselves. And so it may look from the outside looking in, it may look like, you know, we are just dead last in terms of how we treat ourselves. But I think that a lot of other women and communities don't deal with the fact that they are sort of looked at funny if they choose to put their own needs before that of their community.
Yeah. And I agree, because I think it's really been instilled in us like for centuries, because even like, I don't want to be depressing, but like going back to slavery, slavery and things like that. Like, I feel like women were really in charge of taking care of everybody else, making sure everybody was good and things like that. And although we didn't necessarily want to do that, that was what was instilled in us. And even to this day, now we feel like we have to support our men and make sure they're good and serve other people and all these things. And I feel like we do that to feel useful because for so long, that was the only use they felt like we were there for, like, just here to serve other people. So it's hard to break out of that, especially when that's passed down from every single generation. And I don't even think we do it consciously. Like, it's a lot of subconscious thinking going there where we're just like, okay, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I think it's just hard to get out of.
Yeah. I agree with that. I didn't look that deep into it, but I agree. Like, now that I think about it, when I look at the women in my family, it doesn't matter what generation they're in, but they are kind of displaying those same behaviors, like putting other people before themselves and not really taking care of themselves in the way that they need to be.
Yeah. But I will say, I feel like the younger generation, like, we're getting out of it a little bit more, because I feel like even looking at the older generations, like, even looking at, like, their marriages, they put up with so much and really still took care of their men, supported their men. And some of the men was doing them dirty, had a whole family on the side, you know, was out here doing whatever. But we felt like, you know, well, I've already built this family. Family, I got to support this man. When in reality, you're not happy. You're not doing what's best for yourself.
I agree with that. I definitely see. And I really admire Gen Z, like, as a millennial, because I feel like they stand really strong on their boundaries, whether that's in relationships or career. Like, they are telling you, they're letting you know, these are my boundaries and I stick to them. So I think that we could honestly learn a lot from Gen Z when it comes to setting boundaries and things like that.
I agree. So, kind of piggybacking on that, I want to talk about putting yourself first in a relationship. So I know that you said you're in a relationship. So how long have you been with your boyfriend?
We've been together about 11 months now.
Okay, that's so exciting. I love new relationships so much. So I feel like, especially in a new relationship, y'all are getting to know each other, like, learning each other's boundaries and things like that. So how do you approach putting yourself first but while you're still trying to learn a person and put them first?
I think we definitely have a unique situation because we grew up together. So I know him really well. But in general, I think that that is approached by communication. I think it's really important in a relationship that you guys have the same perception of what is going on. So you might feel like you're taking care of your partner and your partner might feel like they're not being taken care of at all. So when you are, you know, setting these boundaries and saying, I'm going to put myself first, it is important, in my opinion, to still keep in mind what your partner needs to feel loved and wanted in a relationship. And so when those times arise and you say, like, hey, I need to put myself first for this, I need to take care of this, and that's going to be prioritize our relationship. I feel like as long as you talk about that and you have a supportive partner, then they're going to be understanding of that.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually talked about this a little bit in a previous episode, but I feel like when me and my husband first got together, like, I didn't take prioritizing myself seriously. Like, I feel like it wasn't like he was never like, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that. But I feel like I was so focused on the relationship and focused on us that I didn't really focus on myself, like, doing anything. Like, I feel like I didn't have any hobbies or any, like, thing that I did, any friends or anything outside of him. So I feel like just within the last few years, including, like, this podcast, that's when I started doing things outside of him. Like, I need my own hobbies, I need my own friends. And it was always so odd because for me, I didn't have these things, but he had all these things. He had friends, he had hobbies, he had things that he did. And I felt like I was just kind of here doing nothing. Like, I felt like I didn't really have a purpose or anything. So when I started really thinking that I needed to prioritize myself and do things for myself, it was very odd. Like, I think I was very uncomfortable with doing it. And then I think even when you start prioritizing yourself and realize you have to do stuff for yourself, it's scary too. Like, I was so just in this relationship for so long. And me and my husband have been together for 11 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, just imagine from, like, when we started dating to just a few years ago, just really, like, thinking, oh, I need to, you know, start focusing on myself.
And that's something that you have to grow into, because I'm in my 30s now, and that's something that I learned. I got married really young and I'm divorced now. But one of those issues that I did have was I never put myself first in that relationship. And that's why it's really important to me now. But I think something that people tend to miss out on is that when you actually take care of yourself, give yourself self-care, you become a better partner. Mm-hmm. So it's not really selfish, because in a way it helps both parties.
Yeah, I can 100% agree with that, because I will say, once I had more hobbies and things like that for myself, I feel like I wasn't like under my husband at the time. Like, especially like if he has something to do, like I wasn't like, oh my gosh, like what am I going to do? Like I'm bored or I'm low. Like I wasn't necessarily worried about all those things, because I'm like, okay, well, I could do this, I could do that. Like I have things that make me happy outside of you, so I don't have to worry about what you're doing to make me happy.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that was so important for me. And it just put me in like such a happy place to know that, because it was never like my husband was one of those, because I know some in some relationships, like the husband or boyfriend doesn't want the other person to do anything. Like it was never like that. So once I got these hobbies, like he always encouraged it and everything, was happy about that. So it made it a lot easier to step out on my own and like not feel like I was being selfish or anything.
I think that's one of the benefits to it as well, because if you get a response that's not like that, you know, then you realize in that moment, you know, this might not be the best option for me as a partner. Mm-hmm. So that's another benefit. You get to see, you know, who is really in your life that's good for you, because I look at it this way. If I had a friend who told me, hey, I have this boundary and I love that friend, I would do what I could to like make sure that I don't cross that boundary. And so when you like put these boundaries into place and say, hey, you're not going to cross this, and they abide by it, that helps you know, like, this is a good person in my life.
Yeah. And that's so important for them to abide by it, because I feel like sometimes when people put boundaries in place, like people get offended. Mm-hmm. And it's such an odd thing for people to get offended by your boundaries. Like, if that's something I'm uncomfortable with, or I just don't want you to do, don't do it. Like, it's really that simple. And I feel like a lot of times people take it personally, like maybe it's something against them. But no, if I set this boundary, like, just don't cross it. It's that simple.
It really is.
Yeah. And I know that you said like you were previously in a marriage, and obviously if you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to. But when you were saying that you didn't really put yourself first in that relationship, do you feel like he was hindering your growth, or was that something really on you?
I think that was on me, because honestly, I let all that happen and I didn't really stand up for myself otherwise. Mm-hmm. So he kind of took advantage of that, yes, but I feel like that was on me. I kind of followed him. I was right up under him all the time, and I can't really blame him for me not taking care of myself in that way.
Okay, that makes sense. And then I guess also I want to talk about, because I think there could be a really fine line between putting yourself first and then just like actually being selfish and like neglecting your partner. So what do you think the difference is between that, or where does that line being drawn?
I think that's when it comes down to perception. Like, how are you making your partner feel? I think when you prioritize loving yourself, it's really important to take that time and sit down and talk to the loved ones in your life. Like, you know, if you have kids, like, how does this make you feel? Like, if I'm gone doing this, and if they are saying, you know, it makes me feel like you're not here, or it makes me feel like I don't matter to you, then I feel like you're crossing that line into now I'm being selfish. Now I'm putting myself first too much. But if, you know, you are doing things that are healthy for you and they have a problem with it, then I feel like, you know, maybe that is another thing that you need to address. But for the most part, if your partner is still feeling like the relationship is going well and you are starting to feel that contentment that comes with putting yourself first, then I think you have a healthy balance going on.
Yeah. And I also think, going back to what you said earlier, just about communication, like communicating with your partner what you're planning on doing, like if they do start feeling some type of way, like them being able to communicate that, like, hey, I feel like you're not spending enough time with me, I feel like you're doing this. Like, I think it's really about communication as well as compromise. Like, it would be something if I just started my podcast and I told my husband, well, every single day I'm going to be recording and I'm going out recording with people and I'm not going to spend no time with you.
like, that's something that he may be like, hold up now. Like, I understand you want to, you know, do things for yourself, but now you're neglecting our relationship or not spending time with me. So I think it's really about that compromise to say, like, okay, like for me and my husband, so he streams on Twitch. So for us, because I'm like, I know I want to spend time with you and I'm going to be mad if you neglected me. So for him, he has a specific schedule of days that he records. And on those days that he's not supposed to record, those are the days that obviously we're really bonding. Like, we chill outside of that. But on those days, it's like, you're not getting on the game, you're not streaming, you're not doing anything, because we want to make sure we still have that time to bond together and build our relationship, versus him just saying, well, I'm trying to be a big streamer, so I'm going to focus on this every single day. Like, it really has to be that compromise in order to make that relationship work.
I completely agree with that. And I love that example too, because, like, you know, we're all individuals, no matter if we're in a partnership or not. And there are just going to be times when we have to say, hey, I need to prioritize this over you. Yeah. And the way that you guys have it worked out to, like, put it on the schedule, like, that's amazing, in my opinion. I love that.
Yeah. And I think it really just came from just learning, because I feel like when he first started streaming, he was just streaming whenever. And mm-hmm. I would literally feel like, oh my God, you're streaming every day. Like, and we live in the same house. We see each other every day, but it's still like, I just felt like he was streaming so much that I wasn't spending enough time with him. So I obviously, like, brought it to his attention. And now I don't feel like, oh my God, he's streaming every day, because now I know, okay, on this day, and this day, those are days he's absolutely not streaming. Like, he's going to be chilling with me. So I have that time set in. So I'm not in my feelings, because I'm the type of person, I'm trying to be in your skin. So I need you to be near me. Like, I don't want to feel like I don't have time with you. And I feel like it was just so important for us to build that in. And I feel like it definitely made our relationship stronger versus us having to argue about where we're going to spend time together.
Right.
Yeah. So it was different. But I guess, so putting yourself first and, like, self-care, are there any specific strategies that you did, like, when you were learning how to put yourself first?
So I've done so much growth on this. This is something that I really needed to do out of necessity, because it was just in second nature for me to take care of other people. So as far as, like, the biggest issue for me was relationships. Like, I, same as you, I would just want to be under their skin at all times. And so after my divorce, I stayed single for a long time, and I really just got to know myself and know what I needed. And I just sat with myself. I sat with my feelings, because I realized, like, the reason for me that I was so, like, I guess, clingy is that I felt insecure. Mm-hmm. And so I sat with those feelings, and I really got to the root of a lot of the things that I was feeling that made me feel like, you know, I needed to put other people before me. Like, for example, you had mentioned something about people feeling like their worth was tied up in like how well they served others. And for me, it was the same thing. I felt like I got worth from making sure everybody was taken care of before myself. So I spent a lot of time with myself and kind of unraveling those thoughts. And that really helped me to be able to prioritize myself and my self-care. For me, like, nowadays, when I haven't been taking care of myself properly, I'll go on a walk, I'll go on a hike, and I'll just sit with those thoughts again. So just being really cognizant of how I'm feeling and where I'm at mentally.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it's so important, the fact that you said a lot of those feelings and things were, you know, drawn from insecurity, mm-hmm. because I don't even think we think about that. But really looking back in my relationship and stuff, especially when we were younger, like, a lot of the problems we had or the arguments I would start, things like that, was because I was very insecure and just coming, like, becoming an adult and taking more time for myself and learning about myself. That definitely eliminates some of those things that I had in the past. So I do think that is important to really look at. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as far as, like, self-care, I also think that's important that you just pointed out, like, you would take a walk or something like that, because I feel like a lot of times when people think about self-care, even me, I'm saying people, but, like, me too, I think of self-care, I'm like, I have to go, like, you know, do something crazy, like spend their money, like, oh, I got to get a massage, or mm-hmm. I need to go get my nails done, or I need to, like, things that require me to have money or additional time, when in reality, it could be something as simple as something like that, like taking mm-hmm. a walk, you know, writing in a journal, like just chilling and listening to music, like something that takes your mind away from things. And I think a lot of times we don't necessarily talk about those aspects of self-care. Like, you really think of those additional things outside of your home, or like spending money. That you have to do.
I agree. It's, for me, it is spending a lot of money a lot of the time. Yeah. I just really like to hike. I really like to take walks. But it is that way for me as well. And I acknowledge that that's not accessible for everybody. But self-care can be anything. It's just like, think of something that brings you peace. Think of something. When do you feel most comforted, you know? And put yourself in that situation. Like for me, when I'm around family, I feel really, I really feel a lot of comfort. And so I'll go hang out with family, you know? If I feel stressed or something like that, it definitely doesn't always have to be like, I need to go to the spa, I need to go to the salon.
Right.
I can,
but it can be.
It can be, yep. It's
definitely. But it doesn't have to be every time. So do you think that setting boundaries and like putting yourself first is the same in like a friendship as it would be in a relationship?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like a lot of people are really good at one and not necessarily the other a lot of the times. And so we'll like let our man get away with murder, but treat our friends like,
okay,
like have completely different standards for them. Or we'll, you know, let our friends walk all over us and then say, you know, I wouldn't let a man treat me like that. And so it's the same thing, like any relationship in your life, parents, any sort of family, friendships, relationships, there needs to be boundaries in that relationship mm-hmm. for it to be a healthy relationship. And you don't always have to, you know, most people will just treat you well, you know, without you saying, hey, don't cross this like really obvious line. Mm-hmm. But in the event that you have someone who is being disrespectful or believing that their problems are more important than yours, it doesn't matter who they are. If it's a friend, if it's a fiance, like, you know, you still need to stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree with that. I feel like I actually have a harder time setting boundaries or like things like that in friendships, mm-hmm. especially like when I moved to Georgia, because I'm trying to make new friends and things like that. So I feel like when I meet people, it's like I want to say all these things up front. Like one thing that I don't even think is a boundary, it's not necessarily a boundary, but one thing about me, like if I'm your friend, I'm a very low maintenance friend and I need low maintenance friends. And some people aren't okay with that. Like some people want to text every day and hang out every day. And I'm like, girl, I have a life outside of this. And I feel like especially when I'm making new friends, I feel the need to try to go with what they want. Like, okay, well, she want to text all day, well, let me text her all day. Or she want to hang out every day, let me do this every day. Really, that's not what I want to do. And I think it's so important to think about the fact that if I'm doing that up front, I'm thinking of this right now. So I'm like, girl, you telling yourself advice, you need to follow it. But I'm sitting there like, if I'm doing all this stuff up front, like texting you every day and going out with you every day, I'm setting the expectation that that's what the friendship is going to look like. When in reality, like, that's not what I'm comfortable with. Like, I feel like my best friends that I have, like not from Georgia, we don't text every day. Like we not hanging out every day. Like sometimes we could go 2-3 weeks without talking, but once we get back on the phone, it's like, you know, no time has passed. And I'm setting these expectations for these new people that this relationship is going to be way different than it is. And I feel like after I said it, I don't know how to get out of it. I'm like, well, guess we about to be hanging out every day. I'm like, I done set myself up.
I mean, I think that's something that you kind of let that stuff beat on in the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I am not going to be texting you every day.
Yes.
And if they text you every day, you don't have to respond, you know, mm-hmm. just because someone crossed your boundary doesn't mean you have to cross it with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think if you set those expectations in the beginning and if they respect it, then, you know, heck, this person can be my friend. If they don't respect it, then maybe you guys aren't really meant to mm-hmm. be friends. And, you know, you don't have to, I think, take every friendship that comes your way. I know what it's like because I just moved back here. Mm-hmm. And even though I grew up here, I'm still trying to make new friends.
Right.
I've been in some odd situations here. Being back in Georgia, and I'm like, okay, that's not for me. And, you know, like, one of the things that comes with setting boundaries is like a willingness to walk away at all times. Mm-hmm. Like if it's not working out for you, you don't have to stay in that situation.
Yeah. And I feel like you said a word. Just because somebody is crossing your boundary don't mean you have to cross it with them. Like, that's a whole word, because I feel like that's my problem. Like, a lot of times and it's just going back to this topic, I try to put other people's needs or their wants or expectations before my own and try to just kind of go with it. Like, okay, well, like, oh, it's irrational that you don't want to text them every day. Like, it don't take a lot of your time. Like, it don't do this. So I just kind of go with it. And then in the long run, I'm like, girl, you don't want to do this. And then I'm getting irritated. And then when I finally fall off, I can't be mad at them for being mad, because they're like, you just set this expectation. And now all of a sudden you're not doing the same thing we've been doing. So now they and their feelings, I'm confused, because I'm just like, girl, I don't want to text you every day. But I never set that boundary in the beginning. Right. So now on the back end, we both looking stupid and mad, because I didn't just say that up front.
Right.
Yeah. It's a whole problem. I need to work on that.
Yeah. That's why I said earlier, like, when you said, you know, is it your husband's fault or is it my fault? That's why, you know, I have to be honest about that. Like, that falls onto me, because it is up to you to let people know what your boundaries are.
Yeah. Cause they can't, like, they can't follow your boundaries if they don't know what it is. So it is important. And it's so crazy, because this stuff is so obvious, but for some reason, when I'm in those situations, I just, it's gone. Like, I ignore it, but it's like talking it out. I'm like, okay, like, going forward when I'm trying to make friends, like, let me just say it up front. Like, look, girl, like, are you cool with this? Because if not, we can't be friends. Like, I'm just such a low maintenance friend. And I feel like when people say that, a lot of times they be like,
like, you're a bad friend.
Yes, but it's just like, I feel like I'm not a bad friend. Like, if you need something, I'm gonna be there for you. Like, I'm down around, like, whatever you need, I'm there. But I just feel like in order to be good friends, we don't have to text 24/7. Like, especially if we not talk about nothing, because some people that I've met, they want to text 24/7. And it's like, hey, what you doing? Watch your TV. Oh, what you do? Like, girl, no, yeah. I can't do it. They be stressing me out. I'm like, but yeah. It's a problem.
It's funny that you pointed that out. So I'm actually a high maintenance friend. Like, I do contact my friends a lot, but like, having boundaries, respecting boundaries goes both ways. And I know that I have friends who do not want to hear from me every single day. And I respect that, because I love those people and I want them in my life.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's important. That's something to consider. If someone is like, why haven't I heard from you? Then you know, they don't respect the boundary that you set. And
See, and I think the biggest problem I've had kind of going back and forth is the fact that my boundary is that I don't want to text every day. But on the other end, they could say, well, their boundary is that they do.
Right.
So that's, I'm just true. Like, where is that compromise? And I feel like that's why I've messed up in the past, because I felt like, okay, well, the compromise is let me text them every day. When in reality, it's not. So I'm just like, I don't know where that balance is. And that goes back to the balance of this. So like, the balance of putting yourself first or neglecting your friends is so, like, that line is thin.
It's very thin. I agree with that. I think the boundary in that case would be to text a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Obviously not every day, because then you're disrespecting yourself.
Yeah.
But I feel like when, like, the love is strong, or this is somebody you really care about, the compromise can be made. Like, I do feel like, you know, you guys can't work it out.
Yeah.
Whatever the situation is.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the hardest part is, like, because the friends I have, like, my real friends that I have, we're all low maintenance. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, like, my best friend, I probably told her like 2 weeks ago, like, but it's just like, she'll randomly FaceTime me and be like, hey ho, what you doing? Like, and it's regular, like, we'll catch up on our lives, but then I won't talk to her for another 2 weeks. Or it'll be a week where for some reason we talk it every single day, and it goes back and forth. Like, but it's like, I don't have to talk to you every single day to feel like we're friends. Like, I don't feel like I miss anything. Like, we're adults. Like, I know you got stuff going on in your life. I have stuff going on in my life. And sometimes I just don't want to talk to nobody. So, yeah. So
it's important, though, to find your tribe. Like,
yeah.
So not saying everybody around you has to be just like you, but it's important to be around those people who really understand you and really develop those friendships.
Yeah. And I think it's just hard, especially moving to a new place, trying to rebuild those connections with people. Like, in adulthood, like, I feel like when I was younger, it was so easy to make friends. And now it's just like, the people that I meet, a lot of times they don't just turn into associates. Like, they don't turn into, like, people I feel like lifelong friends that I'm gonna have. But I mean, I'm not complaining. It's just hard. So another thing that you were talking about in your TikTok that I saw was decentering those people, like, I guess, cutting off people that aren't serving you. So obviously, you know, you're putting yourself first and stuff like that. So if people aren't there for you in that process, or just don't want to support you, how do you manage to, like, first determine who those people are that, you know, don't serve you anymore? And then what's the process of cutting them off?
So I'm actually a very forgiving person, and I'm not really the type to just completely cut people off. Mm-hmm. You would have to do something very disrespectful to me. For me, that boundary is, if I couldn't see myself doing that to somebody else and it was done to me, then I probably can't keep that relationship alive. So, you know, for example, if someone genuinely hurts me and I'm like, oh, wow, I would never do that to somebody, then that's pretty much an indicator for me. Like, no, you got to go.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. And I think luckily I haven't had too many people that I've ever had to, like, cut off or anything. But I think it really just goes to that same thing. Like, if you're doing something that's really foul and I'm like, no, I would never do that to somebody, like, that would be the point of cutting that person off. But it's like, I don't know what that process will look like, because I feel like I'm always really nice to people. So I'm not just gonna be like, look, girl, you did this, like, I'm cutting you off. I don't know if I would just stop texting them or what.
I feel like as an adult, there needs to be a conversation there, mm-hmm. because people don't necessarily know when they're crossing the line.
You're right.
Even if it's something you're like, that is so foul. Like, some people just don't know. And I just feel like you should let them know exactly what they did, because they need to know why, you know, you're ending a friendship or relationship. Or now if it's insane, like, you know, they slept with your boyfriend or something like that, something insane.
Hold on, that's gonna be a conversation.
Like, you don't owe them anything, but for something that is something personal to you, and it may be, like, really specific to you, like, hey, don't talk about mom jokes because, you know, this happened with my mom, mm-hmm. and they kind of cross the line like that. I do think a conversation needs to be had, and it can be as clear as day. You know, I told you that I was not okay with this. You did this anyways. We're not going to maintain this relationship anymore.
Right. Yeah. And I guess, just thinking about that, like, going back to the fact that you said that they may not even know that they crossed that boundary, do you feel like so somebody did something wild to you, mm-hmm. maybe not as far as, like, sleeping with your boyfriend, because that's a little far gone.
It's the wildest thing I could think of.
Right. Like, maybe not that far, but, like, something that you feel like crossed your boundary, you speak to them, they, like, saying, like, I legitimately didn't know. Like, do you think that you could mend that friendship, or at that point you, like, I already feel a little different about you?
I mean, it definitely depends on what it is, but I think that you could mend the friendship in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. And if they, you know, pull the I don't know card, I think it's important for you to come back and be just as assertive and say, well, you do know because I told you. Mm-hmm. And I will give a second chance. I will give a second chance to a friend, but I won't give a third.
Yeah, absolutely not. I feel like if they cross that boundary a third time, then absolutely not. Because at that point, they don't care about your boundary. They don't respect your boundary. So at that point, they really just playing in your face and seeing how many times you will let them disrespect you and then let them come back into your life. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we can't have that. But I would say, like, luckily I haven't had, like, and it could also be because I don't even set boundaries. I'm learning more as I'm, like, getting older to set boundaries. But I feel like in general, I just kind of go with the flow. And, like, sometimes I'll get mad about something somebody does, but I feel like the boundaries in my life aren't that clear that people would know necessarily mm-hmm. that they're, you know, disrespecting my boundary. Which is something I should work on.
Yeah, and I think it's important to keep in mind too, it's never too late to set a boundary. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how long you've known this person, how long you've been around this person. If you develop a new boundary, like, you know, you witness something happen to someone else and you're like, oh, I can't deal with that. Mm-hmm. It's okay to grow and develop new boundaries and say, yeah, hey, I know this used to work for me, but it doesn't work for me anymore. And it's just important to keep that in mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's definitely harder to put a boundary in place, like, when you've known someone for a long mm-hmm. time, because they're so used to doing stuff. But like you said, like, if they're your friend, they'll respect it. Right. And if not, obviously they don't need to be in your life. And that's when you cut them off. So, yeah. So just talking about the boundaries again and asserting your needs. I know most of the time, like being able to do that kind of just comes from building your confidence. So what steps have you taken to strengthen your self-confidence?
So, you know, I actually spent some time in the military, and that is one thing that they do is build your confidence while you're in there. And so I do have that sort of unique factor going on. Because I do feel like I'm a lot more confident than the average person, but it's because I've been in an organization where they taught you how to be confident. Mm-hmm. But I think that one of the ways that they do that is by kind of throwing you into situations that you're not prepared for, and you have no choice but to get confident. I don't think that you'll ever be like 100% ready for some of these conversations. Like, mm-hmm. it's hard to sit down with someone you love and say, hey, what you're doing is hurting me.
Right.
And I can't say that there's anything you can do to get ready for that, but just doing it. And, you know, once you start setting boundaries, you get better at setting boundaries. And so I think just putting yourself in those hard situations and dealing with things, having those difficult conversations, that is how you get better at it. That's how you build your confidence. And it really makes you feel good the first time you set a boundary.
Right.
So the first time you do it, you know, you feel like, wow, like I stood up for myself. And I think, you know, once you feel that feeling, a lot of the times you'll be able to play off that and just mm-hmm. grow, and you'll get better at it.
Yeah. No, I agree that after you set that first boundary, it does feel really good, because I feel like I'm a person that really overthinks everything. So a lot of times when I have to have like a hard conversation or like set a boundary or something like that, before I do it, I'm thinking of like all the like scenarios that can happen. And most of the time I'm only thinking of the bad scenarios, not the good ones. So like when you finally do it and you realize none of this bad stuff happens that you thought was going to happen, like the world does not blow up after you mm-hmm. do it, I think at that point, you're like, okay, I did this. The world didn't blow up. Like, let me do it again. Like, it's a little bit easier. But I think it definitely is building your self-confidence. And for me, I feel like one thing that really worked for me was like therapy. I'm still in therapy, so still a work in progress. And I feel like I'm definitely not as confident as I want to be. Like, I have a lot of stuff to work on, but I think therapy definitely has like at least given me some more tools to work towards it. So that in the future, I will be able to set these boundaries and not let people walk all over me just because I'm scared to say something.
I think affirmations work, in my opinion. I think affirmations mm-hmm. work. I think that finding your value, like sitting with yourself, asking yourself, like, what is my value outside of what I do for other people? Mm-hmm. And really coming up with an answer to that. And that gives you a base to work off of, because, you know, you can say, I don't need to put this person first because I have value over here.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, another thing that works that I never really did, because I always like kept things inside of me, it's just talking to people. Mm-hmm. Like, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be the person that you're trying to set that boundary with. Like, sometimes you just have to talk it out with like other people. And I feel like I realized that, especially doing this podcast, because a lot of times we're having conversations that I had already just thought about, and now I'm talking it out with somebody, especially somebody I didn't know before. So now I'm getting that other perspective, and I'm like kind of thinking like, oh, I should have did this, I should have did that. So really talking it through with somebody, and even journaling, I think is really good. Yes. Because when I journal, I feel like I could get all my thoughts out. Like, because I feel like sometimes when I'm thinking about stuff, like my mind is just racing, but like actually seeing it on paper and being able to read it back kind of just makes me focus a little bit more, even though I don't journal as much as I should, because I be telling myself I should do it every day. But I think when I do it, it genuinely does help me.
Yeah. Yeah. I journal too. And I think another thing to keep in mind is that for the average person, I won't say this applies to everybody, but your loved ones love you too. Mm-hmm. And they want to see that you love yourself. They want to see you enact those boundaries. Like, they want to respect you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't give them kind of a blueprint for how to do so, I won't say you can't expect them to, but they won't know when they're crossing lines. And so just that's something that I do have to keep in mind, because you feel like, oh, what if I say, I don't want this to happen, and then the person like leaves.
Right.
That's like catastrophic thinking. And a lot of the time that's somebody that loves you, like they're going to respect it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times it kind of goes back to like not wanting to put yourself first. Like some situations where you want to set a boundary or ask for advice or anything like that, I feel like, especially Black women, we feel like we don't want to put the burden on that person. Mm-hmm. Like, we're still thinking about their feelings, considering how this may affect them versus how it will affect us. So we're putting their thoughts first. And I'm like, I don't want to burden them with the situation. Like, I don't want to cause them to do anything extra by setting this boundary. Like, I'm thinking of all the ways that it could affect them. Versus just saying, girl, you have to put yourself first. Like, how was it already affecting you before you even told them? Mm-hmm. So it's hard.
It is. It's definitely hard.
Yeah. It'd be stressing me out. All right, Ho. So in conclusion, we just want to say how important it is to be able to put yourself first in your relationships, whether that's like friendships or romantic relationship, and being unapologetically yourself in all of these situations.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I had a good time. My social, I'm on TikTok as Sarah Jordan, SiraJordan.
That's good. You like, I think.
I don't know what else to say.
I'm about to say, you want me to pull it up?
Do I have? Yes, it's Sarah Jordan, but that's my only one I want to shout out.
Okay, cool.
All right, Ho. So thank you so much for coming back to another episode of Morning Cup of Hope podcast. Make sure y'all follow us on all social media platforms. And also don't forget to show our guest, Sierra, some love as well and follow her on TikTok. Hope y'all enjoy this episode. I'll see y'all hoes next week. Peace.